don't know many songs, but this is a good one anyway. On a cross crucified in great sorrow he died. The giver of life was he. Yet my Lord was despised and rejected.
I'm thankful for a lot of things. I'm thankful that the Lord was gracious to allow us to have a safe trip to get here last night. I'm thankful that we have this week to be able to spend with Brother Paul and Mindy and Hannah, and that the Lord's given us something that we can even do. I'm thankful that I have the privilege this morning just to be here. That's a great honor to even be asked to stand in a place that is only deserving of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that deserves to stand up and to have anything to say, but it's through the foolishness of preaching that he has chosen a way to have his word proclaimed. I'm thankful that the Lord has given you a man that loves you, that loves his word, that's faithful. I'm thankful. But I'm most thankful that this morning that God's given us another opportunity, that we can all come together and we can hear something, hopefully, from Him, from His Word. And I pray this morning that the Lord might be pleased to say something to us. Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Job, chapter 4. Job chapter 4. And I'd like to read verse 15 and 16. Job chapter 4. Verse 15. Then a spirit passed before my face. The hair of my flesh stood up. It stood still, but I could not discern the form thereof. An image was before mine eyes. There was silence. And I heard a voice saying. There was silence. And in that silence, Job said, I heard something. I heard a voice. There was nothing there, but I heard something. It was quiet, but I heard something. Now, you know, a moment never passes that the Lord, the God of all creation, does not constantly speak. The song that we just sang, summer and winter, harvest, you know. There's never a time when we cannot say that God is not speaking constantly. The sun never rises. The moon never shines, the stars never twinkle, the wind never blows, the waves never move their majestic waves unless God is not speaking in some way. The Lord is saying something in His august voice of order. The sun came up. Right on time. The oceans never move unless they stay right within their boundaries. They don't come any. The tide comes up, it comes up just so far and it goes right back. Nothing ever happens unless God is not speaking in complete authority. Man would be foolish. He'd be speaking out of the utter depths of his depravity, unless he would admit that God does not speak constantly. Now, let me ask you something. Did God not speak to Moses on the mount out of a burning bush? Does the Scriptures not say he did? Does the Scriptures not say that He spoke on the day that the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized and said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased? Does the Scriptures not say that? Does the Scriptures not say that He spoke to Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus? And when Saul asked him, who art thou? Does the Scriptures not say that I'm Jesus whom you have persecuted? Does the Scriptures not say that? Yes, God does speak. But I think that we err many times in how He speaks to men. Now, I know that there are a lot of people that pride themselves and saying, well, the Lord spoke to me. God said to me, the Lord spoke to me. I had a vision. I don't want to make a big deal out of this, but let me tell you what the Lord said to me. You know, people have a real sense of pride in saying that they've received something from the Lord. But it often appears to me that when someone starts telling me how the Lord has spoken to them, it always seems to have something to do with that which is not contrary to Scripture. I mean, it's not consistent with Scripture. It's contrary to Scripture. And immediately when we start talking about having heard something from the Lord, we immediately have to start thinking about this thing that hangs on the side of our head. It has something to do with the anvil and the stirrup. And, you know, I'm speaking right now. You hear my voice. There's something. It comes out of here. And look, it's a funny thing. It comes out of here, but I can do like this. I can do right here. But you still hear. You still hear what I'm saying. It's a funny thing, you know. There's nothing right here. It's nothing. But you still hear me. And it doesn't come out of my voice. I mean, it's not out of my mouth that quick. And immediately, you hear exactly what I said. Something, you know, right here in the front, you hear it just as quickly as they do on the back. And it goes right in, and I'm saying these words, and there's just one word right after the other. And it's just right in a flow, and you heard it, and you understood it. You understood what I said 6 words ago, and all of a sudden, you know, it makes sense to you. You heard something. So someone says, I heard from the Lord. The Lord spoke to me. And we start thinking about this ear right here. You know, I heard something. But let me ask you something. Is there really any difference in men's ears right here? Now, I know that there are some people that have a hard of hearing. We were talking about Bill Sasser a while ago, and I always pick at Bill. Bill would tell me, he said, now, Marvin, he said, some people think I'm hard of hearing. But he said, I hear everything they say. He said, I just pretend like I don't hear sometimes, just to see what they're going to say. I know sometimes there are people that we say are hard of hearing, but really, if there's nothing wrong with this ear, is there really any difference in the ears of men? If this is what we're going to hear from God with, is there any difference with this? Now, when the Scriptures speak of men hearing from the Lord, there's times when I've read that some men heard and some men didn't. Now, if there's no difference in the ear, the natural ear, then evidently we could start debating forever whether God's voice was an audible voice. Or maybe we could say that it was something like the little story that I've heard, or a question that people have asked me before, and I don't know. They'll say, you know, if a tree falls in the forest and there's no one there, is there any sound? Who cares? I don't know. I mean, how am I going to know? I mean, what difference does it make? Is there an audible sound or is there not an audible sound? Well, I'll tell you this, when it comes to this thing of hearing from God, it doesn't make any difference whether or not Moses heard an audible voice or whether Saul heard an audible voice or whether or not anyone has ever heard that which we'd call audible. Personally, I tell you that I believe that the things of the Spirit are not carnally discerned. That's what the Scripture says. So then really the bottom line is it doesn't matter if it's an audible voice. When a man hears from God, this thing of an audible voice, what you're hearing right now, you're hearing an audible voice. But I promise you this, unless you hear something more than an audible voice, it'll avail you nothing. Job said, there was an image before mine eyes, and there was silence, and I heard a voice. There is, in this thing of hearing from God, there's a language of silence that we must be brought to hear. There was silence, but I heard the voice. Now, I know that you take a congregation of people, and there's going to be some audible words proclaimed. Everyone is going to hear this way. But some of you will hear a language of silence. There's a broadcast that's made, and there's two voices when it comes to this thing of the gospel. And this voice, this audible voice, will go out, but then there's a language of silence that's only spoken by the Spirit of God. And to one person, they'll hear something. They'll hear something that's more than an audible voice. You'll hear something even while these words fall upon this anvil and this stirrup. All the while, there's something else that's happening. And there's two conversations that's going on at the same time. And one conversation that is silent but audible is feeding the soul of a believer. And you hear, humanly speaking, you hear something, but all the while there's something on, and there's two conversations going on, and one of them is fed to you naturally, and the Spirit of God takes that natural voice, and He takes that natural voice, and He speaks to your spirit. He speaks to the soul of a person. And you hear something. But you just can't put your hand on it. It's a language of silence. There's something that's happening while something else is going on. You can get anybody in here. You can pull anybody off the street and set them down and put them under the sound of the gospel. And let them listen to what's being said. And naturally speaking, they'll say, I heard the gospel right here. But unless God does something for them, there was another language that was there that they didn't hear. There was an image before mine eyes, and there was silence, but I heard a voice. Some hear, some don't. Some have hearts that burn while they sit under the sound of the truth, and others just tolerate the time. Man. Sit through and just wait and just listen, you know, flip through the books. They just bide their time. And others just sit there and they hear something. But they hear something else. and God speaks to them, and He takes words that had been spoken to them maybe years before concerning the gospel, and He brings it back to their memory, and once again, they hear something that calls the very innermost part of their being just to glow with thanksgiving because of one that has done something for them that they realize now by the grace of God that had He not done it for them, that they'd be sitting right here, lost, hopelessly lost. And there's a praise, a thanksgiving that's going on in this language of silence. And they're just set afire by the grace of God with a language that cannot be heard. That's a strange thing. What's happening during this time of fellowship? I believe absolutely that there is a language of silence that's heard by some, and by some, it's nothing. Two people can hear, and one can get up out to the service, has truly heard something. He can say to the other one, "Boy, wasn't that good?" And the other one may say to him, "Oh, yeah, that was good." But he's a liar. He didn't hear anything. Right now, while a man speaks and everything seems to be silent, you're not saying anything. But if God has done something, for Christ's sake, for you, you hear something. You hear something more than what I can say. You hear a language that I do not know how to speak. I speak in a language called English. But in the book of Hebrews, the Word of God says, God, divers times and in sundry manners, spoke unto us by the prophet, hath in these last days spoken unto us. And you look at it, his, the word his is italicized. It means it's not there. It says, has spoken unto us by son. There is a language that you and I know nothing about, and it's the language of son. I speak in English. He speaks in son. And we hear this language of son silently by His grace, by His power, by His mercy. But we do hear. We hear. This language, first of all, it's a language of the heart. It's not a natural language. It's not a language that's understood naturally. It's a language that's understood by the heart, by the being of a person, by the spirit. You have to hear something because God has ordained that you must hear the preaching of the gospel. Can a man be converted under any kind of preaching? No. 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 Because the Scripture says that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. The Lord is not going to honor preaching that does not honor His Son. His Son must be honored. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. You hear Him. And anything that does not honor the Son is not blessed of the Father. It's a language of the heart. For a man then to ever hear anything from the Lord, God's going to have to do something for his heart. Not this thing that pumps inside, but he's going to have to change the nature of a man. for a man to ever hear this language of silence. God's going to have to do something for him. Jeremiah chapter 24, I'll just read this to you. Jeremiah 24, verses 4 through 7, Lord says, "Again the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, like these good figs, so will I acknowledge them that are carried away captive of Judah, whom I have sent out of this place into the land of the Chaldeans, for their good. And I will set mine eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again to this land, and I will build them, not pull them down, and I will plant them, and not pluck them up. And I will give them an heart to know me, that I am the Lord. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God, for they shall return unto me with their whole heart." Now you listen. That last little part of that verse, "they shall return unto me with their whole heart," that is a heavy statement. Because I've heard people say, "Well, I live by the Ten Commandments." Well, you know, when the first commandment, you know, "Love the Lord thy God with all your heart and your mind and your spirit." How many people here can truthfully say, "Well, I got up this morning, and I tell you, from the moment that I was conscious, that I was even awake, I have yet to cease loving the Lord with all of my heart and all of my spirit and all of my being, and everything that I've done this morning, even when I got in my car, I started that car to the glory of God. And I drove here every moment praising with a perfect praise. I've blessed Him, and to this moment I have yet to stop honoring Him." We're all guilty. There's not one that has done good. Not one. So when the Lord says, "I will cause them to honor me with their whole heart," that's outside of you and me. We're guilty. And unless God does something for us, we're just not going to hear. It's a language of the heart. Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19, the scripture says, "I'm going to give them a heart. I'm going to put a new spirit within you, and I'm going to take the old stony heart out of their flesh, and I'm going to give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep mine ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I'm going to be their God." Unless God does something for me, then I have no hope whatsoever of hearing something that is by nature unhearable. It just goes out. There's a silent language that goes and just mingles out. And one person hears it, one person doesn't. One person, it just permeates his very being. The other one, it just passes him by. And he never knows it. If God gives a man a new heart, that which is dead and silent to others is going to be an anthem of jubilee and praise to the one that God's done something for. What do I owe this ability to hear this language of silence? Who do I owe that to? I owe it to the one who is my substitute. I owe it to the one who is my propitiation, the one who is my mercy seat, who is my covering, the one who now has wrapped me in the robes of His righteousness. That's who I owe this to. He's going to praise God with a praise that's outside of himself. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 1, Hannah says, it says, scripture says, "And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. If God does something for a person, they'll forever praise him for what he has accomplished. It's a language of the heart. It's a language that absolutely demands my respect. Oh, that I could, that I had the words to be able to say, I'll tell my children. I want to be right up front with you. My prayer is that God would open your heart and teach you something about the gospel. If God doesn't open the heart of my kids, my wife, and myself, we're going to die. If God doesn't give them some understanding, he will justly send my children to hell. And he'll be right. And I will praise him for his justice. This language demands reverence and respect. In Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 18, the scripture says, what profiteth the graven image that the maker thereof hath graven it, that the molten image and a teacher of lies, and the maker of his work trusteth therein to make dumb idols? Woe unto him that saith to the wood, awake, and to the dumb stone, arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, and there is no breath in all the midst of it. But the Lord is in his holy temple, and let all the earth keep silence before him. Parents, we're talking about children, but there's no difference in our children and us. It is imperative that when we come and we hear the preaching of the gospel, there is a great responsibility. Paul, you know the responsibility that you have to teach the Word of God. That is an awesome responsibility. To sit in a study and to realize I must hear from God. God has given your pastor the responsibility to study and to pray that God would be pleased to tell him something. But you have a responsibility too, to come and to listen and to hear. And I would encourage you. I'm talking to me. Oh, that when I come to hear the Word of God, that God would prepare my heart to hear that Word. Because I know that this is the only place that God's going to speak. He's going to speak through the preached word. And my soul depends on what I'm about to hear. Don't tell me a lie. For the sake of my soul, you tell me the truth. And please don't sit idly by. If you catch yourself, I'm just being honest with you now. You catch yourself with your mind 100 miles away. How many of you have ever been praying? And all of a sudden you catch yourself, you know, you're just thinking about all. I mean, you just went right out of prayer, right into what I'm going to do tomorrow. You know, and then you know, God, you know, what am I doing? You know, where was I? Oh, that he would keep me seeking after Him. Lord, please don't let me stray. Please don't let me just wander off. Oh, listen, we're going to have... I'm really looking forward to this week, to spending some time with Paul and for you men that will be able to help him. I'm as sincere when I say this. I'm looking forward to this. This is going to be a week of relaxation to me, to come and just to spend some time, because the work, you know, that's no big deal. I mean, you know, we'd be doing something anyway. I mean, you know, I'd find something to fill up this week. I'd have to go to work somewhere, you know. Oh, what a privilege to be able to come and fellowship with some men that love the gospel, women that, you know, that love the truth. Have a lot of time for that. But, oh, right now, please don't let me concentrate on that which is going to perish. Let my mind be fixed on that which is imperative. This life has been a vapor. I mean, it's going to be over. I mean, you know, I'm old. I think, you know, I turned 40. Can you imagine? 40. You know, do you know how old that sounds to me, you know? It doesn't sound as old as it used to. I mean, you know, 50 used to be ancient to me when I was a teenager. 50, that look old to me. 60's not old. You know, but all of a sudden, this life is going to be over. This language is a language that demands some reverence. Zephaniah 1:7 says, "Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord, for the day of the Lord is at hand. For the Lord hath prepared a sacrifice, and he hath bid his guest." Zechariah 2:13 says, "Be silent, O all flesh, before the Lord, for He is raised up out of His holy habitation." This language is a language that demands reverence. When we come together, it is demanded of us. Hear the word of the Lord, all ye lands. The Lord is in His holy temple. Let all of the earth keep silence before Him. The best thing in the world that you could do is to come and to sit under the sound of the gospel and pray that God would say something to you. I want Him to say something to me. You know, it's one thing for a mortal being to be silent before the Holy One. But I read something that really struck my heart with conviction when it says, "Be silent before the Lord." You remember in the book of the Revelation when the Lord was opening, breaking the seals of the book. And the Word of God says that right now, that there are cherubim, seraphims, that hover over God Himself. And they have never looked upon Him, because the Scriptures say that they cover their eyes with two of their wings. And with two of their wings, they cover their feet. They're not pure in His sight. The two of the wings, they fly. And the Scripture says that they cry, "Holy, holy, holy, holy," without ceasing. Now, when it comes to this thing of being silent, when I think of these angels that cry, "Holy, holy, 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 holy." Scripture says in the book of the Revelation, chapter 8 and verse 1, it says, "And when He opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half an hour." Do you realize the unfathomable holiness or majesty of God that would cause these cherubims to remain silent for a half an hour, that constantly cry, "Holy, holy, holy"? The scripture says that there was silence in heaven for a half an hour. There is no way in the world that I could even remotely begin to think about the reverence that is demanded of this silence, of this language. The silent language demands some respect. We may not see it right now. We may not even come close. It may all be a joke. But one of these days, it's going to be real. You know, there's language in a look. I'm talking about a language of silence. There's language in a look. If you think there's not language in a look, you let me get on the telephone and I'm talking to someone and it's important, and you let my kids get loud, and then you ask them if there's language in a look. When one of them realizes that I'm looking, buddy, she's trying to get the attention of the others and say, "Hey, Dad's looking." There's language and a look. And for the Lord to look upon a sinner, oh, listen, I don't want Him to look on me. Don't look on me outside of Christ. I don't want Him to look at me. "No, Moses. No, we don't want to go up there. You go up there. You talk to God. We'll stay right here. You go talk to God. I don't want to go." Thirdly, it's a language of mercy. Psalms 94:17 says, "Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence." Unless God had done something for me, I would have heard nothing. There is something that I hear, even though it is a language of silence, I hear something. Job said, "I saw an image, and it was silent, but I heard a voice." I don't want my soul to stay in silence. I want to hear something. It's not hard to see the vast deafness of a world that's filled with people who have ears, but they're dull of hearing. But after all the hoopla of this that men call religious experience is over, the servant of God hears a sound that's audible only to his enlightened heart by a merciful God. 1 Kings 19:9 says, "And he came thither into a cave and lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said unto him, 'What doest thou here, Elijah?' He said, 'I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts and for the children of Israel. They've forsaken your covenant. They've thrown down thine altars, and they've slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left. And they seek my life to take it away.' And he said, 'Go forth and stand upon the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountain, and brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord, but the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, and the Lord was not in the fire. But after the fire, a still, small voice. You know, isn't it amazing how people today, they're always talking about, there's got to be something magnificent that impresses this old flesh. You know, listen, buddy, you need to come on out. We're going to have a healing service this next week. How do you know? How do you know? God's going to heal some people. How do you know He's going to heal some people? There were a lot of lepers that God just passed by. There were a lot of starving widows in Israel. God didn't come to any of them. How do you know? Big earthquakes, you know. Big wind, big fire. They said God wasn't in any of it. But then that still, small voice. I'd rather sit and hear something of this language of silence. I'd rather God say something to me. And all it was just a preaching service. You know, what'd y'all do? Well, we just had a preaching service. Oh, really? Well, I'll tell you this. You can have all the earthquakes and all the fires and all the healing services and all of this kind of thing. When it's all over, that one that heard that still small voice heard from God. And all of this other junk was just things and mess and stuff. All the things that can be said about this language of silence, there's one thing that strikes in fear, though, in the heart of an unbeliever. Now, listen to me. If you're here today and you know God, you know Him by His grace, by His mercy. You know that. But if you don't know Him, I'll tell you, this language, though it's a language that's heard only by the heart, it's a language that demands our reverence, it's a language of mercy. But oh, woe, the Scripture says, unto the man that never hears this language before it's too late. It's a language of damnation. If a man doesn't hear from God, if a man never hears anything, but with this audible ear, this language one day will be to his condemnation. If God doesn't do something for every one of us here today, there's not one person that will stand before God and say, I never heard. We'll stand before Him, and He'll remind us every time Brother Paul has preached. You sat here then, you sat here then, you sat here then, and you heard, and you heard then, and you heard then, and it'll be to your condemnation. This language is a language that will be to our destruction for all of eternity. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 1 says, Then said the Lord unto me, Though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward the people. Cast them out of my sight, and let them go forth. And it shall come to pass, they shall say unto thee, Whither shall we go forth? When thou shalt tell them, Thus saith the Lord, Such or such for death to death, and such or such for the sword to the sword, and such are for famine to famine, and such are for captivity to captivity. And I will appoint over them four kinds, said the Lord, the sword to slay, the dogs to tear, the fowls to the heaven, and the beast of the earth to devour and to destroy. And I will cause them to be removed into all kingdoms of the earth because of Manasseh, the son of Hezekiah, king of Judah, for that which he did to Jerusalem. For who shall have pity upon thee, O Jerusalem? or who shall bemoan thee, or who shall go aside to ask how thou doest? Thou hast forsaken me, saith the Lord, thou art gone backward, therefore will I stretch out my hand against thee and destroy thee. I'm weary with repenting. If God does something for you, it's God's fault. If God doesn't do something for you and sends you to hell, it's your fault. If He does something and speaks to me through this language of silence, He will forever be honored in that which He has done for Himself and by Himself. But, oh, if He passes me by and sends me to hell, He'll be just, He's right, and it was my fault because I heard. If God doesn't do anything for me, it's a language of condemnation. This last scripture, Micah chapter 3, starting in verse 1, and I said, hear, I pray you, O heads of Jacob, and princes of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know judgment, who hate the good and love evil and pluck off their skin from off them and their flesh from off their bones, who also shall eat the flesh of my people and flay their skin from off them, and they break their bones and chop them in pieces, as for the pot and for flesh within the cauldron. Then shall they cry unto the Lord, but He will not hear them. He will even hide His face from them at that time. They have behaved themselves ill in their doings. As many times that as much is said in silence as it is in peace. But woe to the man that God is silent toward. I pray this day that God, for Christ's sake, might cause us to hear more than this audible voice. This audible voice cannot do anything for you. Pray that the God of all creation would speak to you in a language of silence. Thank you. Paul.